This is Eddie, the Atari 8-bit podcast.
On this second episode of Antic, the Atari 8-bit podcast, we talk about our favorite books about the Atari, two exciting new hardware projects, the Atari Party, and why the world's biggest department store is also the world's worst. Thanks for listening to Antic, the Atari 8-bit podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the vintage Atari 8-bit line of computers. I'm Kevin Savitz, my co-hosts Brad Arnold and Randy Kindig, and I delve into Atari news, history, capabilities, and tech topics. We love Atari computers, and we want you to, too. Even if your favorite old computer is the TRS-80, or the Timex Sinclair, or the Apple II, or, yes, even the Commodore 64, we want you to be able to learn something about Atari computers and why they hold a special place in our hearts. Let's go! We'll start with quick introductions of your three hosts. First up, Brad Arnold, who is president of the Atlanta Historical Computer Society. Hello, Brad. What's up with your Atari-related activity lately?
Nothing much at the moment. The only thing I've got going on is I'm reinstalling Windows 95 on an old Toshiba laptop to make an APE server for my Atari 800 sitting here. I'm going to have an SIO2 PC serial cable connected to it. I've got it going, but it's still kind of early in the project.
Hey, Brad, I did that a couple years ago and got that to work. I had some difficulty getting a cable that would convert serial to USB. Did you buy the USB version or did you buy the serial version?
I built the serial cable myself based on some plans. I tried using a USB to serial converter and it didn't work. Probably because there are several types of USB to serial converters, and some of them aren't very standard. And I have apparently one of the non-standard ones.
I had a lot of trouble with that, and I ended up buying the USB version instead, and that worked great.
Next up, Randy, who is host of the Floppy Days podcast, which is another podcast for retro computing fans. What's new Atari-wise with you?
Yeah, hey, Kevin and Brad. I just got back from going out your direction there, Kevin. Didn't go quite as far as you are, but we did a 10-day driving vacation to Montana and Wyoming in particular. Got some property in Montana. And while I was there, I visited the American Computer Museum in Bozeman, Montana. And in the Floppy Days podcast, I really cover the details if anyone is interested in hearing more about that. But while I was there, I was able to interview the director of the museum, which was great for the Floppy Days podcast. And I did get a chance to go around the museum. And he has a really nice personal computer display in the museum. Of course, all the Atari computers are represented there. So it really is something nice to visit if you ever get a chance to go out there.
I didn't know that there was a computer museum in Montana. That's doesn't seem like a hotbed of computing activity.
Yeah, that's true. The gentleman who started it, if you listen to the interview, he was going to do it in New Jersey, but decided he wanted to live somewhere that he wanted his kids to grow up in nature. So the nature of his job allowed him to live pretty much anywhere he wanted, and he selected Bozeman, Montana. So believe it or not, that's where it is.
Awesome. All right, and then there's me, Kevin Savitz. I'm creator of AtariMagazines.com and author of Terrible Nerd. I've been traveling too. In fact, I'm squeezing in the recording of this podcast between two trips. I just got back from a 10-day trip to London. Now, this wasn't my first time in London. When I was 13 or 14 years old, my dad took me to London a few times. He was a travel agent, and he got really cheap flights to places. I remember one time he said, Kevin, you know, what do you want to do next week? And I was just like, I don't know. Want to go to England again? He's just like, sure. So we like hopped on a plane and went to England. So one of those times, he took me to Harrods. Harrods at the time was the world's largest department store. And it's still there today, and it's still very, very big, but I think they've actually lost the title of world largest. So here I am, you know, 13-year-old Kevin, at the world's largest department store. And what do? I'm looking for Atari stuff. And I searched the electronics department and the toys department, and I'm looking for Atari computers because it's the world's biggest store. They must have great Atari stuff, right?
Right.
They didn't have any. There was nothing there. So that was a real disappointment. And I thought, you know, what good really is having the world's largest department store if you didn't have Atari computers in it? So anyway, I went back with my family. We were there for 10 days and we saw all sorts of amazing things. But as part of that, we happened to be at Harrods. So I just for fun, I looked for Atari stuff at Harrods, and they still don't have any Atari computers there.
So, any Sinclairs?
No Sinclairs either. I'm just really not impressed with Harrods, I got to say. Yeah. You know, it's...
I guess, what's up with them?
I don't know. Don't know. So that was that trip, and now I'm home for a couple days. And then on Tuesday, July 23rd, I'm hopping on another plane going to Kansas Fest. And Kansas Fest is I think the easiest way to explain it, it's adult Apple II summer camp, and it's a bunch of Apple II people who get together for 5 days and hack on Apple IIs and give presentations and that sort of thing. I'm mostly an Atari guy, but I figured I'd go slum it with the Apple II people for a few days, and it sounds like a lot of fun.
So I take it this is your first time?
This will be my first time at Kansas Fest. Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's something I've always wanted to go to.
And see if you can record some stuff while you're out there or something.
I might do that. You know, last time I have this microphone that I record podcasts and stuff with. Last time I took it in my carry-on, I got to have a special long talk with the TSA agents who were concerned with my big fancy microphone. So I don't know if I'm going to take it this time.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
One more thing, Kevin.
Yeah.
I believe you mentioned that your anniversary is coming up this week, and yet you're still going to get to go to K-Fest?
Yeah.
How did you manage that?
Because I have the best wife ever. Anniversary is July 23rd, which happens to be the morning, the day I'm hopping on an airplane to go to Kansas. And I asked my wife, how do you feel about that? And she's just like, go, have fun, get out. So,
well, how long have you been married?
This will be our 19th anniversary.
Okay. If she's put up with you this long, I guess she can probably put up with you for a little bit longer, huh?
I think so, yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Brad, have you added anything new to your Atari collection?
Not really recently, although I'm hoping to pick up an Atari 800 tomorrow at our club's video game day.
Excellent.
Is it a working model?
We'll see. He says he's going to bring in a VIC-20 and Atari 800, and if he can find all the pieces, a PC Junior. So we'll actually see what shows up, if anything.
Excellent. What about you, Randy?
Well, it just so happens that I just purchased an A10 drive off of eBay.
Ooh.
I actually just got it yesterday, and in preparing for this podcast, I really didn't get a chance to even open the box yet. It's kind of killing me. It's sitting here right next to my desk, and I haven't even opened it up yet.
We could have a live unboxing on the podcast.
Yeah. If we had video, I could probably do that. But, you know, the A10 was my very first floppy drive. I remember buying it and bringing it home from the store and just thinking how wonderful that was to finally have a disk drive. So I always wanted to get an 810 in my collection. I have a 1050, and I've had various 1050s over time. But I always found it difficult to find an 810 that was clean, tested, and in a reasonable price. And one came up on eBay recently, fully tested. He even tuned it to be per specs and included absolutely everything you need to use it. Included box, SIO cable, power supply, manuals, master diskettes, DOS diskettes, and even three boxes of blank diskettes. So, I mean, it's got everything you could need. And I got it for a reasonable price, so I was really happy to get this.
Awesome.
So maybe by the next show, I'm sure by the next show I'll have it open and maybe I can report further on my trials and tribulations with the 810.
Yeah.
Great.
What about you, Kevin? Anything new?
Yeah, I've been exploring eBay too. I had a long break from eBay. I've been on eBay forever. I signed up on March 5th, 1996, and but I have not been a regular user that whole time. I kind of come and go. And I decided to search eBay for Atari cartridges, and I earned some great stuff lately. And I don't really think I have time to talk about it all now, but one thing I'm excited about is I got a couple of French Atari cartridges, 8-bit cartridges. And one is, do either of you guys speak French?
No.
No, me neither. I don't speak a word of it. So I've got Des Chiffres et Des Lettres, which is, I believe it's like translates to letters and numbers. And I also have, this one's easier, it's Atari Text, A-T-A-R-I-T-E-X-T-E, which basically is the French version of Atari Writer. And so I have these two carts that are in a language that I don't read, and it's really exciting to kind of have a couple of carts that I think are on the rare side.
What you need for that now is to get you the Atari conversational French teaching.
There you go. Thanks.
Right. Get those cassette tapes. That'll teach me French.
Well, you know, because I've actually got a set of the Atari ones. My son and I played with the German one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of fun.
So all this talk about buying Atari things makes me want to hear a classic Atari advertisement.
Me too.
Discover a world beyond your wildest dreams. Discover Atari. Pioneers in coin video games like Centipede, Tempest, and Asteroids. They'll challenge you, excite you, test you like never before. Discover the Atari that opened your eyes to the world's most popular home video games like Space Invaders, Missile Command, and Warlords. Discover the Atari that brought you a home computer truly designed for the home. Sophisticated for advanced needs, yet simple enough for your child to use. Compose music, play advanced games, manage your finances, all at the touch of a button. Discover Atari.
Atari!
And discover how far you can go.
Next up, letters. We get letters. So excited to have gotten feedback from folks who listened to our first episode. Cliff wrote in, said, great episode one. Here's a topic idea, how to transfer software back onto an original Atari 800 system. Lots of software is now online, but how do you play it on your original equipment? Thanks and keep up the good work. I like that idea, and hopefully that's something that we can cover in a future episode.
I think that would be a great topic. There are a lot of things out there that will allow you to do that. Next up, we had Ken Gagne, the editor of Juice.js, and also one of the hosts of Open Apple podcast, which I love to listen to, wrote us, and he said, I finally finished listening to the first episode of your podcast. A fun first outing. Even though the only Atari products I've used are the 2600 and the 5200, there was enough here of general interest, such as Kurt Vendel's book, The Alamogordo Landfill, et cetera, that I'll keep listening.
And we got one from David Grealish, who's a buddy of mine from the Atlanta Historical Computing Society. And he also does something podcast related to. He wrote in and said, hello, I am outraged about this Atari podcast. How dare you all for doing this? The vintage computing podcast world has been just fine without one. So what's the big idea? And he says, I'm finally relaxing and listening now. So far, so good. Good going, guys.
Yeah, he's a comedian, huh?
Yeah. He saved himself at the end, or I would have had to have dealt with him at our monthly meeting tomorrow.
Our good friend Earl Evans, who does several podcasts as well, including a new one about the Commodore called Chicken Lips Radio, tweeted, the future is here. Episode one is on the air, power without the prize.
Yeah, I appreciate his helping get the word out, but I just got to say, power without the price was Atari's tagline, but they introduced that with the ST line of computers, and you know, we wouldn't really expect a Commodore guy like Earl to know that, but thanks for the kind words. Finally, Jim Hall emailed us, said, hello, I loved your last Atari podcast very much and have recorded it for later use once again. I've been an Atari user since the Atari 800 came out with a tape drive. Now I'm on Atari 130XEs that are my workhorse and friend. I'm using the APE interface from Steve Tucker, as well as the 8 MB flash card arrangement to keep my collection alive. I just wish you could get Steve Tucker to be on your podcast in the future, as well as maybe an old Atari professor, Bob Puff, of CSS software. I've been busy archiving my collection using the APE interface to keep my collection fresh and useful, but I wish others would step up and let you know your podcasts for us are wonderful. Wow, well, thanks again, and keep those cards and letters coming. We'll give contact information at the end of the episode. Next up, Atari news, all the news that fits in 8 bits. Brad, why don't you start? Tell us about the Atlanta Historical Computing Society's Video Game Day.
Well, tomorrow we'll be holding one of our periodic Video Game Day events. And it's the club members, we get together and bring in consoles, old computers. I'm going to have an Atari 400, and there'll be a little of everything there. I think David Grealish said he's even going to bring in an Altair to play games on. That should be something. But I'll have a little roundup of what happened next month.
Awesome.
This next item is a little bit... I have to say, when I first heard about this, I had a little bit of trepidation, and I'll tell you why here in a minute. But this actually has been out for a little while, but since this is only our second podcast, I thought I would at least mention it. There is a new product called a Liberate 09 from Cloud9. Those of you that are familiar with the Coco computer, Boise Peter is a pretty common name, and he took the 8-bit Motorola 6809 processor, which many claim was the most capable 8-bit processor ever created, and placed it into an Atari 8-bit system, and also got the Nitros 9, which is basically a Unix-based operating system that runs on the Coco, running on that hardware as well. It turns out that Boise had fun with Ataris as a kid, but he never got into the Atari home computers. And, you know, as you know, there are some very powerful chips such as the Antic and the GTIA chipsets in the Ataris. And he was intrigued with the idea of driving those with the 6809 processor, which is more powerful than the 6502. So he picked up an Atari 8 XEGS and created a board which houses both the 6809 and the 6502, so you can switch between normal Atari operation and 6809 mode.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought this was pretty amazing work. When I first heard this, I was, being an Atari guy, I didn't know what to think about it, because I thought that basically he was taking an Atari machine and turning it into something else, which I really don't have, you know, that much interest in. The Atari is the Atari, and I love the Atari as it is. But, you know, this is pretty powerful, and really gives you two machines in one, or multiple machines in one.
Now, is this a product that you can go out and buy and brain surgery your
yes.
own computer?
Yeah, it's available now. It's $65 at Cloud9. I saw it on eBay as well. They were selling it there for starting bids of $50 and I think about $6 or $7 shipping. So it's pretty inexpensive.
Yeah, that's not too bad. I may have to look into that.
Next up in news, Al Alcorn, the creator of Pong, has launched a Kickstarter campaign for a new trivia game called Seriously? The game will combine a physical deck of cards with augmented reality via your smartphone. The project description on Kickstarter says, it's a very special deck that can be read by the phone or tablet camera. We plan to bring in celebrity characters and videos when possible that will make this unlike any game you've ever seen. We also plan to make several sets of cards, so we will have a world-class database of entertaining trivia like no one else. Our quirky game hostess is an expert in all subjects, or at least will fake it, and will provide the answers. She will keep things moving and keep you chuckling, but be sure to pay attention as she may mouth off a little if you don't keep up. So, sounds to me like they're trying to make maybe a new take on You Don't Know Jack, but with real physical cards and magic of augmented reality thrown in. Could be, and I hope I'm wrong here, another in a series of Kickstarter campaigns from industry old timers that maybe shoot for too much money. I'm thinking, for instance, of David Crane's Jungle Adventure, which had a goal of $900,000. You know, it was supposed to be a follow-up to Pitfall. $900,000 goal, and they managed to get pledges of just over $31,000. The funding for Seriously is only $100,000, but I still think it's pretty aggressive. And as we're recording this, there's 22 days to go on this Kickstarter, and it only has $3,910 in pledges. What do you guys think?
Well, I think it's great. I think it's something that, you know, I would think about pledging for, but $100,000, to me, it kind of scares you off a little bit, especially if you don't see the pledges growing very quickly. I think you're less likely maybe to pledge money.
Yeah, I kind of agree. It's and I agree with you. It sounded like You Don't Know Jack. It's the first thing I thought of when you were reading it.
So, yeah, I threw in a pledge for 20 or 25 bucks, but I hope I'm wrong, but I don't have a good feeling about this. But we'll hopefully we'll revisit this next episode and see what happens.
On Atari Age forums, which if you haven't been out to Atari Age, you need to be reading Atari Age forums. But on the Atari Age forums, I was reading that they have what's called a FPGA version of an Atari 8-bit computer. An FPGA is what's called a field programmable gate array chip, basically. It's mostly used for prototyping. Designers can use this chip and build an entire computer on a chip, a single chip, input, output, memory, processor, everything on the chip. They're very popular in retro computing projects because they have enough power to emulate the entire computer. And someone is finally getting around to doing one for the Atari 8-bits. You know, they've had Commodore 64s and Cocos and such for quite a while, but this is the first serious attempt at one for the Atari 8-bit. They've got it up and running in alpha stage. Several people have got it running and can run some minimal software on it, and it's looking like this one might actually have some legs. So we're going to keep an eye on this one.
Okay, so when I saw this in our show notes, I didn't get it, but now I think I do. Like Jerry Ellsworth made that a few years ago, the yep. Commodore 64 on a joystick. Is that the same sort of thing?
That's exactly it. It's pretty much exactly what she did. I understand maybe the first run of the Commodore in a joysticks, if you pull it apart, there is an FPGA chip in there. Hmm. They're generally not used for mass production because those chips are not cheap, but they're great for prototyping because they're very flexible.
So other than the fact that they're cool and that you know, it's pretty neat that you can do that, what would you use one of these for? Is it just emulation? I mean, you can run emulation on a desktop computer.
Well, I don't think it's emulation. It's more or less the real thing if it's done right, isn't it?
Yes, I probably said emulation, which is probably technically incorrect, because you are designing it and programming it to be a whatever you're designing it to be. So it's,
so basically, you can take a machine and put it in a smaller package.
Yes. Okay. Yes, and one of the reasons why these projects pop up periodically is, you know, there's only so many Atari 800s left in the world.
And,
as time goes along, you know, that number is going to shrink. You know, just think, you know, in 50 or 60 years, you know, we're going to be, you know, many fewer. The idea of the FPGA projects are to create new versions of the platform. And also by doing that, they can, then you can take it in a direction that, you know, you could actually create a an Atari 1450 XLD on a chip.
Excellent. That's exciting.
Next up was the Atari Party that was recently held in Davis, California. It's an event to celebrate old video games. There's a lot, there's a variety of classic game systems and computers, and although it's called Atari Party, so I guess the main focus is Atari. It's a free event open to the public, and it covers over four decades of Atari history. As far as I could tell online, these have been held since at least 2009. Obviously, I've never been to one of these, but Kevin, I believe you have. Is that true?
Yeah, I went last year. I was at the 2012 event. It was fun. I had a great time. Small, intimate sort of gathering, not like a huge vintage computer fest or anything, but, you know, a big room filled with Ataris and people who love them, and it was a good time. I couldn't make it this year because I was out of the country, but I emailed Bill Kendrick, who spearheads the event, and asked him about it. He sent me some comments about what happened this year. He said he downscaled it a little this year due to kids and job. So he kept things small and with a tight budget, and he spent $60 total, 40 of which was for power cables and extension cords, which he'll be able to reuse. So sounded like a small, even more intimate event. He didn't try to gather guest speakers this year like he did last time. He did upscale a little in terms of his personal collection that he brought. He said that, as with previous years, he had some giveaways of books and carts and things. And all told, he said about 150 people dropped in, kids playing games, adults playing with computers, and he said it was a great time.
That's a long way for me to go to California for something like that, but who knows? Maybe someday.
Finally in news, GTIA Blast, interesting new demo, which works on any Atari with 48K, even an Atari 800, all the way up to XEs. It's a demo that was just released a few days ago. Fast, colorful, moving sprites, moving against a rich, beautiful 16-shade background. The demo is available on YouTube. You don't even need an Atari computer or an emulator to see it. You can just go to the link in the show notes and watch the demo. It says it's a work-in-progress demo of a new 8-bit project, which started in earnest in January. It's a vertical scroller using the, they call it the much-neglected GTAA graphics mode 9. It only has a resolution of 80 by 192 pixels, but the 16 lumens are used to good effect. They say it's unlikely to be finished until 2015, but more demos of the project will be released in the meantime. So just before we started recording this podcast, I emailed these guys and I asked if binaries are available or source code, and it was their webpage, and they threw up a webpage for me, for us, and there at the website they set up, you can download the current demo and an earlier version of the demo when it was just a sprite multiplexer, and a sneak peek of one of the tools that they're using to develop it. And he said, while we're working on the project, we'll just be releasing demo executables, but eventually, when they're done, they're going to publish everything, the source code, and I think it's an exciting project.
That's pretty cool that people are still doing that these days with the Atari 8-bits. Are they doing anything differ in any special code or special algorithms or special graphics modes or anything that they're using that you're aware of?
I think the thing that they're excited about is that they're using the GTIA Graphics Mode 9, which maybe isn't used for so many games and demos. And the neat thing about that mode is that it has 16 different shades. So it looks pretty. They're doing some coding magic, though, because it looks like there's way more than four or five players on the screen at a time, and there's smooth scrolling and color. It's a neat demo that's definitely worth checking out. Next, our feature topic in this episode, we're looking at Atari 8-bit books. Randy, take it away.
Yeah, thanks, Kevin. What I want to do is talk about some of the must-have books that every Atari computer fan needs to have in their collection. Some of these are the retro, original, back-in-the-day books, and some are more currently published. This is not a comprehensive review of Atari books available, of which there are many. But Kevin and Brad, after I go through these, I'd like maybe you guys can discuss your favorite Atari books and maybe some I haven't mentioned. To start with, I've got to talk about Day Ray Atari by Chris Crawford. That was written by Atari employees in 1981 and published by the Atari Program Exchange the year after that. But it's got detailed descriptions of all the advanced features of the Atari 8-bit family of home computers. Much of this information wasn't available in other sources, so at the time, this was really a great reference to have. Day Ray Atari means all about Atari, and that's basically what this book gives you. It's really a distillation of the Atari technical manuals by those who knew the most about them. And when you read it and look at it, it looks like a technical manual. It covers the antique player missile graphics, display list interrupts, scrolling, sound, OS, and DOS. So that is certainly one that everybody should have in their collection.
I think if you are interested, for anyone who's interested in programming the Atari in any language, there's so much good stuff in Day Ray Atari, that technical tricks and things for graphics and sound, that it's just a great book for Atari programmers in any language at all.
I'm not a programmer at all, but I've always had a copy of that book. Most of it goes over my head, but there's a lot of it that doesn't, and you can get an idea of, you know, just what's going on inside the machine with this book. It's an excellent book to have, even if you're not a programmer.
Once Day Ray Atari becomes too easy for you, this next book is what you're really ready for, and that's the Atari 400-800 Technical Reference Notes. This was also published by Atari, and it's really got three parts to it: the operating systems manual, operating system source listing, and hardware manual. Covers basically every technical aspect of the Atari 400s and 800s in detail. Now, it is the 400-800 line, it's not the XL-XE machines, but that also is a great machine. Do you guys own a copy of this book?
Yes.
Yeah, I have that.
That's a thick one.
Next, I want to talk about the compute line of books a little bit. There are tons of these. There were many of them published by Compute. I'm sure all of you know that Compute was an American computer magazine published from 79 to 94. And in its 1980s heyday, it covered all the major platforms and eventually even spun off the single platform versions of the magazine. Its original goal was to write about and publish programs for all the machines that had the 6502 chip in them. And the platforms that became mainstays were the Commodore VIC-20, the 64, the Atari 8-bit series, the TI-99, and the Apple II. But they also published a successful line of computer books, many of which were compilations of the best articles from the magazines. And they produced these for most of the covered computers that I just mentioned, including several for the Atari 8-bit line. The ones I'm aware of, and there could be other ones out here that I may not be aware of, but there's the first, second, and third book of Atari, which are more general articles about the Atari from the magazine. There were the first and second book of Atari Graphics, which just covered the graphics. And then there was the first book of Atari Games. You guys own very many of the compute books?
Yes, I have them all.
Yeah, I've got most of them.
Of course you would, Kevin.
I've scanned all of those compute books, and they're all at atariarchives.org.
Right. Next is Mapping the Atari by Ian Chadwick. It's also a compute book. It's also a very good book. It's a memory map to the Atari 400-800 operating system. Covers both revision A and revision B of the OS. And Ian covers practically every function and important memory location in the computers. There are sections on the special chips like ANTIC, POKEY, and GTIA. And it even, in many cases, explains those better than the technical user's notes do. And there's an introduction that describes how to access memory in 7 different languages, which is pretty cool. There were 2 editions of this book. The first covered the 400-800, and the second edition covered the XL and XE lines as well. And the version I have is the second edition. Next up is the Big Purple Book, Your Atari Computer, A Guide to Atari 400-800 Computers by Ian Poole. Everyone should own a copy of this. It's an all-in-one guide for 400-800 computers. It's got operating instructions and troubleshooting tips on hardware, peripherals, and software. Covers computer graphics, tutorials, and references for Atari Basic, and basically everything you need to unlock the full power of your Atari computer. It won't teach you programming, but there's just a lot of good information in here. Now, you can get these pretty cheaply on eBay. There were a lot of these published, so it shouldn't be difficult to get your hands on one of these.
And everybody should have one.
You absolutely should have one.
I've got like 3.
I think I've got at least 2.
Yeah, I have 2 or 3.
And they are, that is the best one.
You guys love this book. I'm just like, it's all right. I don't know. Don't love it.
Yeah.
You're not that big a fan, huh?
Yeah. It's books, you know.
Yep.
All right, the next one I want to talk about was the Creative Atari by David Small, Sandy Small, and George Blank. I'm sure everyone who is listening to this is familiar with Creative Computing magazine. And there were other compendiums of Creative Computing, but the Creative Atari is the only one that covers just the Atari computers. It's got updated and revised articles from the magazine, reviews, and tutorials, along with some new material. There are how-tos on graphics, hardware and software reviews, disk drives, ready-to-run program listings, and lots of other useful information. There isn't any particular theme for this book, but there are a lot of great articles.
It's one of my favorites.
I may have that one, but I've never read it, so I guess I'll have to pull it out or get a copy and read it, because this one I've just never read.
Yeah, they've got compendiums for some of the other vintage computers as well.
Yeah, they also did Creative TRS-80 and the Creative Apple.
Yeah, yep, and I have both of those as well. And you'll see a theme here. I'm a big fan of the old computer magazine, so my book collection kind of mirrors that as well, because the next one I want to talk about was The Best of ANTIC, Volume 1. And again, I'm sure everyone is familiar with ANTIC magazine. Well, this is a compendium of magazine articles from ANTIC. It reprinted really the best material from Volume 1, that is only the first 6 issues of ANTIC, plus some new games and some new articles. And as far as I can tell, no follow-up volumes were ever done. Do you guys know if there were any follow-up volumes?
They definitely did not do any follow-ups.
Okay.
I got to say, this was a great book at the time, but I don't feel like this one's held up, because it's mostly type-in listings and without even a lot of commentary about them. So what's the point in that anymore when you can just go to atarimagazines.com, download them all, and play them on your Atari or in an emulator without typing them in?
Right.
That's true. That's a good point. In the day, it was fun to type them in and
No one.
Debug them and figure out what where you made your mistakes and and learn about them. But and the other thing is that you can, because of the sites that you have out there, Kevin, you can actually go download the first six issues of Antic yourself if you wanted to, rather than having a compendium like this.
That's true.
The next one is the Analog Compendium, which was obviously Antic and Analog were the two big Atari magazines, or at least the ones that I frequented the most. So this is a compendium of the best Atari home computer programs from the first 10 issues of Analog Computing magazine. And it contains games, according to the cover on the book at least, it contains games equal in quality to those commercially available, but also has tutorials, business, educational, and useful home applications. So what do you guys think of this book?
I like it. It's still kind of type-in heavy, but I don't think it's as much as the Best of Antic. And I like it. It's spiral-bound. It's easy to read. It's easy to flip through, and it's a nice format.
Yeah, and once again, it doesn't appear they did any sort of follow-up books to this, which is unfortunate.
Right.
This next one, Kevin, I want you to know, or I want everyone to know, that Kevin didn't put me up to this. Terrible Nerd by Kevin Savitz.
Aww.
It's a great book. By my illustrious co-host. It's not specifically about the Atari, but details Kevin's life growing up as a nerd using an Atari computer. And it has an Atari computer on the cover, so it should be on everybody's bookshelf.
Why, thank you.
The next one is Atari Inc. Business is Fun. We talked about this one a little bit on the last podcast. So if you want more details, you can go back to that episode. But it's an 800-page history of Atari from its inception until it was sold by Warner.
I think they've come out with a ebook version of Kurt's book now.
Yeah, the ebook, the Kindle version is available of Atari Inc. Business is Fun. I received my paper version, and I was happy to get it, and it was signed by Kurt, and like, yay. And then I realized I'm not going to carry this huge book around, so yeah. I downloaded it for Kindle. I'm about 10% through now.
So you find that an easier way to read it?
Well, I was traveling, and I didn't want to be carrying that big, heavy book around with me.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got some weight limits when you're traveling.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to ask you guys, if you could only own two Atari books, what would you recommend? And I'll start off by saying Day Ray Atari and the technical reference notes. Kevin, what about you?
Wow, that's a good question. I would say Day Ray Atari and the memory map book that you mentioned, Mapping the Atari.
Those are good choices. Yep. Brad?
Well, I'm going to cheat and go with three because one of them you already talked about, the purple book. If you had to say one, I would pick that one because I just like that one. But the other two is the first Atari book I ever owned was called Atari Basic by Bob Albrecht, Leroy Finkel, and Gerald R. Brown. I'm sure everyone has seen this book. It's the one with the Atari 400 mostly on the cover. It's a teach yourself basic book, and I've always liked that. It just something about the book just kind of, I guess it, maybe the writing style is very casual. And and then the other one is it's not as near as in depth as the mapping book, but this one is called Master Memory Map by Educational Software.
That's a good one.
These are the guys who did the Tricky Tutorial series. And it's, like I said, it's not as in depth. It doesn't try to cover every single thing, but it tries to hit the good stuff. And even, like I said, not being a programmer, I still got lots of good peaks and pokes and that. And I could just look and see, you know, what are they doing over here? oh, that's what they're doing over here kind of stuff. So those are my two.
Yeah. I have those books as well. There's one more that I have wanted to try to get. It's called Atari Roots, which I believe covers machine language for the Atari.
That's a good one, too.
Every time I try to get one on eBay, the price goes higher than I'm willing to pay, and I never get one. So
it's called what?
Atari Roots.
Roots, okay. Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to mention that there are a couple of, if you don't want to invest in finding the time or money in finding Atari books, there's a couple of ways to read them online. The full text of 30 or so Atari books is at my website, atariarchives.org, including Atari Roots and Dayray Atari and The Compute's first, second, third book of Atari, a bunch of others. But also archive.org, at archive.org/details/Atari books, they have scans of 99, as of today, 99 Atari books. And you can spend the next month reading everything you could possibly want to know about how to program in 6502, or how to program in a BASIC, or in Action, or if you want to know about home applications and games, or read the Tricky Tutorial series. So many books instantly available. You can read them online or download them in PDF format.
One of the places you can go for books is AtariMania.com. They have scanned quite a few Atari books there, too.
All right. I think that's everything that we have to say today about Atari books. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to the show. As this is our second show, we certainly welcome any and all feedback. Please let us know what we're doing well, what we're not doing so well, if you have suggestions for future show topics. And also, please take a minute and rate this show on iTunes. That's really the best way that you can help this podcast, any new podcast that you like. Give it a great rating on iTunes. And also, tell all of your retro computing friends about the podcast. That would be great. Do you have memories of the Atari 8-bits that you want to share? Perhaps you're working on a project involving your Atari computer. Whatever it is, we'd love to hear about it. Please let us know. You can contact us in several ways. You can email us at antic@ataripodcast.com or on Twitter at Atari Podcast. You can call our voicemail line and let us hear your voice. The phone number is 206-984-1637. Our website with show notes and links to everything we've mentioned and talked about in this episode is at ataripodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening. See you later.
See ya.
Bye, everyone.
On this second episode of Antic, the Atari 8-Bit Podcast, we talk about our favorite books about the Atari, two exciting new hardware projects, the Atari Party, and why the world's biggest department store is always...
You were close.
I was close.